Let thy word go forth with power. Speak to every one of us right where we're at, O Lord God. Fill us with the Spirit, Lord, and let us receive thy word in season, O Lord. In Jesus' name, I believe you're speaking, Lord. Amen. I want you to go to John chapter 8. While you turn there, I just want to lift this up and show you a miracle. In my view, this is a miracle. This is a Chinese version of the book, Mending the Nets. In fact, Leroy, maybe you can just pass it down the rows. Put your hands on a miracle. Let me tell you something. We're nothing, right? God's everything. Look, when I started in the ministry, I could barely write a letter. I went to Prairie, okay? I couldn't even put sentences together, okay? But the Lord has led the ministry toward writing and communication. And I found the power of the printed page. But I never dreamed that I would ever have a book that's translated into Chinese. I think this is amazing. This is the answer to our oft-repeated prayer. Take our 5 loaves and 2 fishes and bless and break them and multiply them. Now, that was an initial printing of 20,000, and they're already out of them. They said they're getting orders now for 5,000 and more. So that's up to them to go from there on that book. But I do want you to know that they are translating another book, which I'm really happy about because it's going to be a great explanation of salvation. It's called Born from Above. And it's about John chapter 3. And by the way, if anyone wants a copy of either of those books, then we'll put them out in little piles up front there. You have enabled this to happen. This is all of us together. I have been able to write and express myself because you have paid the price to support the ministry, support myself. And we're a team. We're yoke fellows. Now, just specify if you want the Chinese or the English version of the book, okay? But either one of those books, I want you to have them, all right? Now, go to John chapter 8, and I'm going to read a very familiar passage of Scripture the Lord put on my heart, okay? And that is, it says in John chapter 8, verse 30, as Jesus, he's talking about Jesus, as he spoke those words, many believed on him. Many believed on him. Now, I've lived in a time where many people believed on Jesus. They just turned to Jesus. In the late 1970s, every time you turn around, people were believing on Jesus. As a matter of fact, the cover of Time magazine said, this is the year of the evangelical, 1976. I wasn't even saved yet then. I didn't know what an evangelical was. Jimmy Carter says, I'm born again. And I said, what's born again? I never heard of it before. And yet, in the years following, I mean, everywhere you turned around, I saw people come to Jesus. Many believed on Jesus, okay? So you think, great, that's wonderful, all these people believe on Jesus. But what this passage illustrates is, that's not a one-time shot. Many believed on Jesus, and then what did Jesus say? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. This is a very important scripture, very important passage of scripture. Many believed on him. I've met a lot of people that have been saved. In fact, I've met people that have been saved 4 or 5 times. There's no visible change in their life, no evidence whatsoever. Many believed on him. Yeah, but then Jesus said, well, okay, if you're going to really be my disciple, you got to continue in my word. And if you continue in my word, then you'll know the truth. And the truth will make you free. Now look what it says in the next verse. Then they answered him and said, wait, we're Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. This is an illustration of the capacity for self-deception. Look at the pride in this statement. We're Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man, as the Roman soldiers are marching down the street, okay? Because they were in bondage to the Romans, and before that they were in bondage to the Greeks, and before that they were in bondage to the Babylonians, before that they were in bondage to the Assyrians. But the capacity for self-deception is astonishing. Everybody's free, they think, okay? But free to what? And free of what? That's another subject for another time, but there's a true and false freedom. There's a true and false freedom. Some people think freedom is an end in itself, you know. I remember the song, "People everywhere just want to be free." But free of what? Okay. Well, it turned out, free of marriage. Well, what's it mean to be free of marriage? Oh, free of love. Free of commitment. Free of security. Yes, be careful what you want to be free of. The astronaut's out there walking the spacewalk, and he's thinking, I've never seen such freedom. There's no north, there's no south, there's no east, there's no west, there's no gravity. I'm free! Oh, but wait a minute. No, I'm not totally free yet. I still have this hose attaching me to the ship. So he pulls out his space scissors and cuts the last tether. Now I'm free! Free of what? Free of air. Freedom's not an end in itself. That astronaut is this evil generation. They've torn down every boundary. And they're mad. They're out of their mind. They're floating in space. They're doomed. Because they've set themselves free of everything. But freedom's not an end in itself. Peter said, people come along and promise you liberty when they themselves are slaves of corruption. That's the fake freedom. The real freedom, you know, Moses said to Pharaoh, let my people go. But he didn't stop there. What did he go on to say? Does anyone know? That they might worship me. Free to be what God made you to be. Free to be who you're supposed to be in the first place. Free to be. See, Jesus speaks of freedom here. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See, but they think they are free. They're already free. They're so bound, but they're already free. And so Jesus answered, they say, we're Abraham's seed. We're never in bondage to any man. How do you say that you'll be made free? You know, technically, you know, the freest guy in the whole Bible, in this sense. He got set free. He's not going to let anyone judge him. That sound familiar? He's not going to let anyone tell him what to do. He's going to be his own man. He's not even going to let his family, not even his parents, not even his relatives. In fact, he's not even going to dress like everybody else. Finally, he just strips off all his clothes. He's free. But where do we find him? In the graveyard. He's crying day and night. He's restless. He pierces himself with stones and rocks, and he wants to hurt himself. This is the end of such freedom. Then one day a boat arrived on the shore, and out came the Son of God. This miserable man, though he's got so many demons, he runs toward Jesus. Bows down to him. But then a voice comes out that's not his own. What do we have to do with you, Son of God? Have you come to torment us before the time? It's like, where'd that come from? Jesus had a brief interview with him. And he cast the evil spirits out of him. And then the next thing you see is he's sane and clothed and his right mind sitting at the feet of Jesus. How many know that that's the story of our lives? But see, they're not free. They think they're free. You have never seen a generation that thinks it's freer than our generation. Man, they are free. Free of everything. Free of convention. Free of marriage. Free of morality even. I mean, wow, you can't get freer. But you can't be happy with that kind of freedom. You're lost. You are floating in space. Because God never made us to float in space. Now, well, what's going to take to get them free? Jesus answered, said, whoever commits Sin is the slave of sin. Literally, whoever practices sin is a slave of sin. Well, half the time, just getting free, the first step is you have to admit you're a slave. You know, whoever practices sin is a slave of sin. Man, I don't want to be a slave. Amen. I don't want to be a slave. You know, the earliest part of my spirituality is like, oh, Lord, I'm sorry I did that. And then the next day I said, I'm sorry I did that. And then the next day I said, I'm sorry I did that. Because I kept thinking, it's all about what you do, which that is very indicative of who you are, what you do. It's hard to separate, you know. Sorry I did that. I'm sorry I did that. I'm sorry I did that. And then one day I think, I am tired of saying, I'm sorry I did that. What is my problem? And my problem goes deeper than what I did. My problem is who I am. You see? That's the meaning of born again. You can start all over again. You can receive a new nature from God. You do not have to be the slave of sin. There's a passage in Romans chapter 6. Sin will not have dominion over you. You're no longer under law, but under grace. And that's not a goal. That verse isn't a goal. Like, you better hope you work hard and get to that point. That verse is what's true of every born-again Christian. Sin has lost its absolute grip over us, and we are no longer under its power if we're born again and love Jesus Christ. And I never said we don't sin. I'm saying our relationship to sin is changed forever in Jesus, because sin is no longer the absolute master. Now, that's beautiful, okay? But Jesus said, look, he says, whoever practices sin is a slave of sin. And the slave does not remain in the house forever, but the Son remains forever. And if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. See, there's real freedom. They thought they were free, but Jesus said, no, if the Son sets you free, you're really free then. How free is real freedom? Well, Paul was in a prison cell one time. And he was all put there unjustly. I mean, they broke all kinds of laws putting him down there. And they didn't just put him in a cell. I mean, the discretion is with the jail keeper. The authorities didn't care what you did with the person. You could have them on their couch if you thought they were harmless, just so you produced them the next day for trial. Well, Paul was put in the basement of the prison in stocks. Okay. Now, a lot of us would be sitting there murmuring at the legal system or thinking of which lawyer we're going to call to sue. Okay. But the Bible says at the midnight hour, the other prisoners hear Paul and Silas praising God. Now, that's free. Free of your circumstances. Free that you don't have to have a certain circumstance to be happy and joyous. That in Jesus, that no matter where you're at, if you're on the top of the throne or down in the basement of the prison, you can praise God anywhere. Now, that is a freedom the world knows nothing about. Amen. How free was he? An earthquake came and opened up all the prison doors. But Paul didn't leave. You know, the average person would say, I got to get out of here. No, he stayed right there. Amen. He's so free, he didn't even have to leave the circumstance. Because he stayed, he was able to start a church that became the West, Europe, and America. Christianity came to the West. And there's not a person in here who hasn't been blessed by that. The Bible's amazing, amen. But see, this is really what I want to point out. It's truth that makes you free. If you continue my word, then you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Truth. This is a very important subject. Truth can make you free. Well, if truth can make you free, then by implication, lies are what bind you. So many people bound. So many people oppressed. So many people in prisons of their own making or other people's makings. And what keeps them there? Well, if truth makes you free, it's a lie that binds you. Now, lies are very important because, you know, you got to navigate through this world. And you know that the whole thing is, I mean, when we finish this life, I want to go to heaven, right? Now, in order to get there, you need truth. Someone gives you a lie. Okay. I've heard money preachers say, tithing is the sure sign that you're saved. If you don't tithe, though, that's the sign you're on your way to hell. These are deceivers. What if you're a faithful tither all your life, but never admitted you were a sinner, never bowed down and asked Jesus to come in your life? And what if you believe that stuff and you die? You're going to tell God, I tithe? You bought a lie, and the lie damned you. And there are many other lies. Many, many other lies that damn people. Lies are dangerous. Lies are deadly. Lies are very, very, very significant. You think of the press today. The press lies about issues and people. We need truth. I mean, Obama needed to be vetted. We never heard about him until a long time after. Oh, that's really, really? That's the truth about him? Yep, they never gave it second thought. Or the people they demonize. They lie about. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Why is that so important? You lie about a person, you can damage them heavily.
That's right.
I've been lied about before. And people have hated me without a cause. Just because someone that they thought was credible passed on a story. Chances are I've probably lied about people. I say it to my shame. You shade in the part you want to emphasize. You lighten the part that you don't want to emphasize. You hold a person up in a negative light that you want to make them look a certain way. Thou shalt not bear false witness.
That's
truth.
That's right.
Pilate asked Jesus one time, what is truth? Listen to me. This is very important. What is truth? What an answer. What a question, huh? What is truth? Pilate asked Jesus that in his trial. The Apostle Paul told us, he told Timothy and us, you remember the testimony Jesus gave at his trial to Pilate. There's something about that testimony you're supposed to remember. Perhaps in times when persecution comes, a pressure comes on you, then you can take some kind of special comfort from that. So Pilate says, don't you know that I have the power of life and death over you? And what did Jesus say? You wouldn't have any power over me at all unless God gave it to you. God is sovereign. Amen. Now, there are many fearful things happening on this earth. Christians are being killed all over the world. And now America, Christians are being killed. Okay. Now, I don't want to be dramatic or anything, but look, the tide is changing. And a lot of propaganda has gone into simple minds like this guy that shot those 9 Christians. Are you Christian? Are you Christian? Yes, I'm Christian. Bam! He hated Christians. Okay. The funny thing is, the press bore false witness right away. It was a right-wing Christian. Do you understand now why there has to be a hell? Someone to leap into action and manipulate before the bodies are even cold and push their own agenda and bear false witness? And ignore things like the other factors, mental illness, of extreme leftists. Feeding on leftist propaganda all day long. If you feed long enough on that stuff, you would want to kill a Christian too. Okay. Truth, man. Truth bound this young man. He's dead now. The lie bound him. He believed lies and he's bound. He acted on them, actually. Okay. Hitler used to be literally an expert on lying. And I'm not saying that just a hyperbole. I mean, seriously, he wrote about it. The psychology of lying. Don't tell a little lie. Something in people can kind of sense that. The best way to tell a big lie, keep repeating it. Keep a straight face. Just keep on pushing it. And sooner or later, I mean, how do you take a civilized nation that gave us Bach and Beethoven. And the next thing you know, you had 6 million Jews in ovens. Oh man, the power of a lie. Our whole country's changing radically. And a lot of it I attribute to the lies. The steady stream of lies. And lies bind. Lies really, really cripple people. There's a guy in the Bible named Mephibosheth. He's one of Saul's grandchildren. And when he was a baby, Saul, in the ancient world, if one king takes over from another king, they don't have a peaceful transition of power. Usually the first king tries to wipe out the family of the second king, all right? Well, David didn't do that with the house of Saul, but they thought he would. And when they were running away, you know, from David, one of the nurses dropped Mephibosheth and he was crippled for life. And all his life he thought David hated him and had tried to kill him and was the cause of his crippling. Well, one day David's sitting there in his palace thinking, you know, what can I do to bless the house of Jonathan, who is Saul's son? Someone says, well, he's got a crippled son somewhere. By this time, Jonathan's done. He's dead. So David sent his people out to find Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth thought, oh no, here it is, I'm dead. They found me. They bring the cripple before David, and Mephibosheth just prostrates himself. Just kill me, get it over with. I'm a dead dog. David said, kill you? Are you kidding? I'm not here to kill you. I'm here to bring you into my house and take care of you for the rest of your life. Amen. What? You mean they lied to me? Yeah, they lied to you. You know that whole Middle Eastern thing? It's a miserable, miserable place. They just work these poor, miserable people up. They tell them lies. You take a kid. Okay, almost everyone in the Middle Eastern Arab world has a college degree. Did you know that? Because they give college free to everyone. Doesn't do you any good. You get out of college with an engineering degree and you end up selling apples somewhere. And even then they want a bribe. Okay, these people are miserable. You take a miserable young man, a Muslim man, and Islam itself is such a perverted religion, and you tell him, look, you blow these people up and you're going to get 72 virgins. You're going to go to a place where you can drink wine forever and you will stay drunk forever and you can have all this, something out of Playboy magazine. And they do it. The kids do it. Can you imagine? You think, I'm on my way. The guy that blew up the Twin Towers had a wedding suit packed and ready because he thought he was going to go into his obscene wedding. Instead, he woke up in hell. Hell. Good Lord, this is serious. I mean, there is a heaven and a hell, so I need truth. I need to get it straight, man. If I don't get this straight, if I get this wrong, sincerity is no answer. What's truth? Well, let me try to define truth and point you toward it before I close. Really, a good definition for truth? Reality. Reality. Now, not to be confused with data. Okay? Algebra is true. Geometry is true. A lot of history, the way it's reported, is true. That's just data. No. See, we know more now than ever before in history. But we know less now than ever before in history. I mean, seriously, to put a person on the moon itself is an incredible thing. I mean, good Lord. And I do believe he was on the moon. I can't explain the shadow, but, you know, give me time. I mean, it actually deceives us, especially here in America. With this technology, it's just amazing. You can take a look at little cells. And inside every cell is a whole universe. They just keep looking littler and littler. It's astonishing what we know, okay? And you take a look at space. And we were talking about the vastness of space. I mean, Dave Hunt, I think, is the one that said it best. Getting a man on the moon, we think, wow, we have accomplished something. That's like an ant getting to the top of a blade of grass and say, I conquered the lawn, man. Space is vast. And let me say something about this, the knowledge that we have that's astonishing. It still doesn't answer the most important questions. Why am I here? Who are we anyway? What is a human being? Okay. What's our meaning? What's our purpose? What's the problem with humanity? See, people think, oh man, get enough technology, we'll solve the problem. You just keep making more problems. What is the problem? Where can we get set straight? What's going to happen? Is death it? Is that the end? Can you put love in a test tube? Can you measure justice? But you all believe there is such a thing as love and justice. Is love just a chemical reaction? You got the right hormones, she got the right... Really? Is that what it's reduced to? Justice, bravery. A guy runs at a shooter and takes 7 bullets. He himself has no weapon. He looks at the shooter and says, please don't kill me. It's my son's birthday. He's got a 3-year-old son. But here's one you can't measure. The shooter hates him so bad, he still tries to kill him. What's hate? What's love? See, and here's the thing. When the Bible talks about truth, see, you can't know that stuff through science. You wouldn't find it in any field of science. Mathematics, chemistry, geometry. There's no way you can find the really important things. In fact, if you're going to know anything on that level, it's going to have to be revealed to you. From the outside. You see what I'm saying? There's just no way that it could ever be communicated to you. Who am I? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do with my life? What is my problem? Why do I keep doing evil when I want to do good? Where am I going after I die? You know what? Man is the only creature that thinks on that level. Okay. And you couldn't get that knowledge from any other source unless God revealed it to you. See, that's what's humbling about it. I read last week a verse that says, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the philosopher? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Hasn't God made foolish the wisdom of this world? The Greeks seek after wisdom and the Jews seek after power. They demand wisdom. Give us an answer. And the answer is the cross. That's wisdom. The Jews want the power. They want the Messiah to knock out the bad people. It's like I told people a while ago, one day someone's going to rise up from Europe somewhere or something and really smash ISIS. And people are going to be tempted to love him just for doing that. And what do we got going on right now? I mean, Putin. Okay. Not a good guy by any stretch. But I certainly applaud what he's doing. They'll say one day, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? No one's going to miss ISIS, believe me. Anyway, I got off my subject, didn't I? You can't know this stuff by science or by investigation or by any... You know, it's wonderful. God says the world is so full of mystery and he gave it to men to search it out. I believe that heavens declare the glory of God. I believe people are called to be chemists, scientists, electrical engineers. I have no doubt that that's calling, because God wants everyone to see the glory of Him in creation. But you can never find out the really important things. Those questions will never be answered by science. They have to come by revelation. In other words, someone from the outside of us has to reveal it. That's what you got in your lap. Okay. Who are you? Man was made in the image of God.
Amen.
That's truth.
Amen.
You know what? Well, that truth will make you free. Free to what? Free to treat people right. Amen? I mean, once you have that truth, I mean, that's what made our civilization humane and our justice system basically try to care enough to really validly give a person a day in court. Why? Man is made in the image of God. That is a revelation from God. See, that's the problem with it. The proud don't want a revelation from God. They want to discover it all themselves. So therefore, they don't want to accept a revelation from God. Don't bring the Bible into the discussion. Well, I wouldn't bring the Bible into discussion if we're talking geometry. Although I venture to say there's probably geometry all over the Bible that we never saw yet. But if you're talking love, justice, the value of a human being, the afterlife, the true spiritual reality, don't bring anything else into this discussion but the Bible, because this is the revelation from God to tell us the answers to what science and the knowledge of man, no matter how exalted, could never even begin to tell us. Now, on the other hand, we are living with a nightmare because, oh, just look at this, okay? Both our senators just voted to keep funding Planned Parenthood. A barbaric institution which sells baby parts and often leaves babies alive so they can digest, dissect and preserve favored and more expensive parts. This has been proven. This has been exposed. This has been put on everyone's sight for all to see. And your Senator Joni Ernst and your Senator Chuck Grassley just said, nope, keep it going. Don't touch it. What happened? What you're seeing is the fruit of 60 or 70 years ago, this attack on Genesis. Okay? Because only by the revelation of God, only by Genesis is the truth introduced. Man was made in the image of God. You don't sell a man. You don't dissect a man. You don't you don't torture a man. You don't treat a man like an animal. Man was made in the image of God, but they threw it out. Very few of us still live on this earth. Live to do what? To bear witness to the truth. See, back to Jesus and Pilate. Who are you? Are you a king? And my kingdom from another world. Then who are you? He says, the whole reason I came into this world is to bear witness to the truth. And then he said, all who are of the truth will hear my voice. See? Do you have that inward affinity to the truth? That you can hear his clear voice? See, there's so many lies now. And so much obfuscation. I mean, when abortion... See, I was alive when abortion was passed. A lot of us were, okay? And people were appalled by it. And even the people supporting it were saying, we want to keep this few as possible. And, you know, this is a tragedy. We don't want to exploit it. You would never get someone marching down the street saying, shout out your abortion. We're proud of it. What's happened? So you get away from truth long enough. You don't stay the same way. Okay? There's a condition the Bible calls reprobation. It's a frightening condition. I think our generation's almost there, where you can't even distinguish truth from error, good from evil. In fact, in its final stages, you would swear up and down that evil was good, and good is evil. Once again, Obama. God bless you, Planned Parenthood. In view of all these videos, God bless you, Planned Parenthood. No one's going to touch you on my watch. God bless you, Planned Parenthood. It's a nightmare, right? See, this generation is bound. They're in bondage. They think they're free. It's just like this passage. They would swear up and down, we are Americans. We are free. We're freer than everybody. In fact, the whole past to them is nothing but bondage. Don't even listen to them. We are the ones. And they're in bonds, being led to slaughter.
Yes, they are.
On their way to hell. And the leaders are so sure and so confident and such good communicators. Joni Ernest said, we're going to make them squeal. Remember that? We're going to stand up to the... She just voted to keep it going. This isn't political, it's spiritual. It's frightening. The truth is the spiritual reality. What is the way for me to be saved from myself? Well, you'll never find it in chemistry. You'll never find it in geology. You won't even find it in history. But there's a revelation from God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe on Him. That's a revelation from God. Would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now Jesus one time said, thank you, Lord, you hid this from the wise. Oh, the wise know better. And they scoff at the poor simpletons. You go to a place like India. India has had the gospel from the beginning. There's a St. Thomas. Remember St. Thomas? Went down to India, started a denomination that still exists to this day. The Bar Toma, the Sons of Thomas. It's not even a Hindu name. Bar Toma, Sons of Thomas. Still there. Churches he started. But for the most part, the 1 billion Indians utterly rejected because it's too simplistic. You know, you get Hinduism, it's very, very complex, man. It's reincarnation and all these cycles of life. And oh my gosh, and I've talked to Brahmins, which is the top caste. And they're smart people and they love to talk about religion. And you preach Jesus. They say, you come here. And you go in their house and there's their rack of gods. And there's Jesus among them, you know. We don't, you know, of course we believe in Jesus, but not like you. We don't believe He's the only God, okay? The only people in India that really wholesale just eat up the gospel is the untouchables. Yeah. The lowest caste. The Dalits. You can't get saved fast enough. Because Jesus said, I hid these things from the wise and prudent of this age. The people that think they got it together. People that confuse data with truth.
Yeah.
Data's not truth. You can get a PhD and still not know anything real, anything valid, anything eternal. In fact, you go to these universities, a lot of people do lose what little faith they had going in. That is not the same as truth. Truth is a revelation from God. And God will show the least person in this room more than He'll show the kings of the earth. You sat at a table this morning that Putin or Obama or the Pope, or you name all the kings of the earth that gathered together at the UN this week. By the way, this is another subject for another time. What a banner week for prophecy. The UN is like the bar scene on Star Wars or something. I mean, everyone was there. The least person in this room sat at a royal table this morning and partook of something so regenerating, so powerful, so beautiful, that it shall last forever. These people can drink all the champagne they want. and talk about the problems of the world while it goes to hell. They don't know a thing. The least person in the least church, some untouchable in India, can know more about the problems of the world than all the hot shots down at the UN put together. What they're doing is counterproductive. What they're doing is destructive. What they're doing is bringing Armageddon to the world even faster than I thought it would get here. This has been a banner week. Syria, Russia, basically saying, ever since World War II, the U.S. has had a hegemony in the Middle East. We call the shots. And we tried to bring a peace. And it's a hard place. You can't bring a total peace. But we tried. And in one day, Putin says to Obama, get out of my way. You've had your chance. Now we're coming in. Think he's going to give it back when he's done? There's people that bled and died from the USA to give Iraq freedom. Now the president of Iraq is talking to Putin. We're looking to you now. You? Putin? Putin, a KGB agent. He was an atheist. He's an Orthodox, Greek Orthodox Christian, but I don't think he's Christian. But he's a powerful man. Look, this had to be. I never thought I'd see the day where a Russian president would tell a U.S. president, get out of here. Get your planes out of the sky. Get out of my way. I'm going to take care of this my way. He's not using smart bombs. He doesn't care about collateral damage. Nor rules of engagement. Okay. It's a nightmare, right? But this is what has to happen for Jesus to come back. I'm way off my subject. Let me just try and wrap this up. See, truth, the Bible says in Proverbs 23:23. That should be easy to remember. Buy the truth and sell it not. Pay any price for truth. Seek truth. See, when I found Jesus, I found truth. It's like, oh, that's how this thing works. I get it now. I'm not saying you have to be stupid to have truth. You have to be humble to get truth, though. You got to stoop to go into the stable, and you have to stoop to go into Jesus' tomb. You must humble yourself to have truth. Yes. God will reveal His truth to His people. God's people are the last people left that know the truth. The truth about marriage. See, should I fill in the blanks of the lies that are so commonplace, the confusion that's so profound? Transgender? Homosexual marriage? What? Multi-faith? All religions together? It's impossible. You can't have all religions together. You can't have A and non-A. Well, get ready. Because it's coming. And in its coming is going to be a vision so beautiful, so powerful, so seemingly ready to finally solve the problem. That if you aren't rooted in truth, you're going to be swept away. The Bible says that in the end, I mean, a horrible religious test comes. God sends a strong delusion. God does. What? God? God's no liar. God won't send a delusion. No, He's not a liar. But what He is a person that will deal with people only so long. Okay? So, Jesus is the Son of God. No, all religions are equal. No, Jesus is the Son of God. All religions are equal. Jesus is, you even got people dying rather than deny Jesus the Son of God. You think that's not God talking to the world? They're not going to make it in the papers. 12 Egyptian Coptic Christians were beheaded singing psalms. Obama refused to say they were Christians. And he refused to say Muslims are the ones doing it. You can't have reality without truth. How would you like to go to a doctor that says, I want you to know right at the start, I don't believe in cancer. I will never use the word cancer. I've told my nurses never to refer to cancer. There is no such thing as cancer. I'd be finding a new doctor. It's not even dealing with reality. Okay? The lie. Look, what's going to happen? What God does is He says, look, you want to believe that lie? Even after I sent all these witnesses, you saw people beheaded rather than go along with that lie. Not powerful people. People who had nothing going for them. In fact, you ignored them. You wouldn't even give them the press. You wouldn't put it in the paper. Okay. That's what you want to believe? Then I'll let you have your delusion. That's what Isaiah 66 says. I'll choose your delusions. Oh, no, Lord. Please don't give me my delusions. I want truth. I need truth. Look, the body of Christ is the repository of truth. The church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We're to hold up the truth, and we're to witness to the truth. What truth? Well, especially the truth that the world spirit is denying. Anybody here? Something so bad's coming, because it'll be so beautiful. It'll be right out of those Coke commercials. I'd like to teach the world to sing. And people already got that going inside. They'll resonate with it. They'll pick it up. You saw Antichrist stuff at the UN. You saw world religious leaders open his speech saying, I come in my own name. Well, most people wouldn't think a thing of it. But people that have the truth all picked it up. Jesus warned. Jesus, the real and only absolute representative of God on earth, said, I don't come in my own name. I come in the name of the Father. But this man says, I come in my own name. Jesus, the real representative of truth, the absolute witness of truth. You will not find truth without going to Jesus. Said, I come in my own, I come in the Father's name, you won't receive him, me. You won't receive me. He said, another is going to come in his own name. You will receive him. This is big stuff. There's a delusion coming. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2 and then we'll close. There's a terrible, terrible religious test. I hope that I'm not here when it happens. Because I don't want my heart to be broken any more than it already is. When you see people that you think would know, and they collapse, they succumb to evil. It's happened on several subjects. 2 Thessalonians 2. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means. That day won't come unless there comes a falling away first. And the man of sin be revealed, the very son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God. Notice that? Self above God. One man will oppose and exalt self above God. But that one man will resonate with the multitudes of people who've been taught, chances are, in their churches. Oh yeah, you've got to love yourself. That's the most important thing. That's your problem. You don't love yourself. That's a manifest lie. I could prove that very simply. Someone says, Pastor, I don't love myself. Why not? Well, because I'm ugly. Well, then you should be happy if you hate yourself that you're ugly. Right? Obviously, you love yourself. It bothers you that you're ugly. Or you think you are. If you really hated yourself. See, Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. And he assumed you love yourself. Of course you love yourself. And you should. But not more than God. and not more than your neighbor. He is going to resonate with all the ones with the redefined Christianity and the redefined spirituality and the gay churches and the transgender churches and the multi-faith churches. It's just going to seem so right. Above all that is worship. Well, you wouldn't want to worship. You know what that means? You wouldn't want anything above you that you reverence. You wouldn't want to be in awe of someone so holy and awful. That don't sound right. You're supposed to feel good about yourself. All that is worship, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Don't you remember that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholds that he might be revealed in his time. The mystery of iniquity is already working. Only he who now hinders will hinder until he be taken out of the way. Then will that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth and will destroy with the brightness of his coming. Dear friends, we're right here. We are right at this time, right now. He goes on to say, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Oh yeah, but he worked miracles. Oh yeah, the miracles are coming. For all the people that think miracles are the end all, then you're going to see miracles you never dreamed could happen. The people that saw the Virgin Mary at Fatima in 1918, 200,000 of them said, they swore, we saw the sun doing a pinwheel. Not one, not two, 200,000. They saw the Virgin Mary talking to them. You know, the miracles are coming. Sure, miracles are coming, but not from God. Of course, God always has miracles. You should always pray for healing and stuff like that. Yeah. But what's coming is so evil. Okay. Even him who's coming exactly the working of Satan with all power, signs, lying wonders. The Pope just visited a chapel in Italy and performed a miracle. You know what the miracle was? They have a glass monstrance with the blood of a previous pope that is obviously dried up. And this pope kissed it and it liquefied. Now, did you ever read Jesus doing anything like that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? I mean, could you even imagine Paul, Peter? We can't deny it's a miracle. But of what sort? It's frightening, really. Let me just close here. I'm sorry. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Literally, in them that are perishing. Because they receive not the love of the truth. You see, Pastor, that's what I hate about you. You always put down people. You are always criticizing all these good people. And why can't you leave them alone and just, you know, oh gosh, I wish I could. I wish I could do Mr. Rogers, all right. But doesn't truth count for anything? Isn't that why you're here? I hope that's the only reason you're here. You shouldn't be here for personalities. We won't remember your birthday, chances are. I hope you want truth.
Oh, Lord.
I'm meeting 10 people that want truth rather than 350 people you got to put a show on for. Doesn't truth count? How much does it count? They receive not the love of the truth. Oh, you may not have all the truth, but do you love the truth? Man, that's a sign of your salvation. I love the preacher that'll call out my sins. Really? That's not natural. I know, but that's what the Lord did in my heart. Now I can see, oh, that was evil. I don't want that anymore. I want to follow God. Wow, that's a good sign that you're saved. You receive the love of the truth. But not them. Not them. They didn't receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God will send them a strong delusion A terrible delusion. I mean, you can see it now. Just the idea of Bruce Jenner and everyone going along with it. I pinch myself. Am I the one that's crazy here? Gay marriage? That's supposed to be good for you? Look, if they'll buy that, they'll buy what's coming. But this caused God to send a strong delusion. What it literally says is that they should believe the lie. The lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Oh, Lord.
See, some lies are so pleasurable. I had a guy come to me one time and say, you know, just put aside your doctrine for a minute. He's a confessing Christian. Let's just consider a happy heretical thought. Wouldn't it be cool if God would just let everyone go to heaven? See, some lies are pleasurable. Oh, wow, yeah, whoa, man, that'd be great. Well, would it? I don't even think sinners want to go to heaven. They wouldn't like it there. Because God's there. And He's holy. So that's the last place they'd want to be. They'd probably prefer hell to heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, give us the love of the truth. No matter where it takes us, no matter what it reveals, no matter if it hurts us or not, we know that the hurt can only be good, like salt in a wound, clean out the infection. Give us the love of the truth. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
God bless you all.